Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, who or what was the spirit that got far too physical with a couple in their own home?
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number to call in your real ghost story. Of course, you can also write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you like our program, help keep us on the air, become an extra podcast person, sign up to be one of those at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. It's only $5 a month to get access to all the advanced episodes, the whole archive, the EPP bonus episodes, of which there are new ones every single week exclusively for you. Ebook, audiobook, it's all there. Ghostpodcast.com. Or patreon.com/realghoststories. Tony and Todd with you on today's episode of the program. What's going on?
Gosh, you've been a busy man. Like, I've been following you on social media. I'm like, how does that guy even stand up straight?
A lot of caffeine the last couple of weeks as of recording this. I know this is going to be airing in September, but it's towards the end of August right now. And yeah, we did our we got a little vacation and I shouldn't say little. It was like 7-8 days. But we had not been out of the house for almost 2 years, you know, on anything. So me and Harp went to Disney and SeaWorld, and we almost saw a rocket launch at NASA, but it got scrubbed at the last minute. And a water park and a lot of driving.
My God, like, was there any part of it that like stood out to you as your favorite? Obviously, Harper had a great time. Mm-hmm. I mean, what stood out to you as your favorite part?
You know, what I found to be really interesting, and I'm really not a fan of the movies or anything, but that Star Wars exhibit or world over at Disney Hollywood Studios is quite amazing. I'm not a big Star Wars person, but you don't have to be. Just the way the whole thing is set up and the way some of those rides work, it just baffles the mind of how well they're done. That to me has been a really neat thing. So we spent a couple, I think, extra hours over in that area just trying to get onto some of those rides because they're just amazing.
It's amazing when you think of, you know, when Walt Disney, the whole thing kind of started and where it is now, the technology and what they're able mm-hmm. to do. It's kind of mind blowing.
Oh, completely. And there's a lot of interesting things. I kind of like the weirder, darker side
of
Disney.
Do.
And there's so many little remnants around those parks that are like pieces of old rides or pieces of the past or this or that or something that they were going to try building once. Or there's just so many interesting, weird intricacies to that whole place that it's kind of fun to look at those too and find those because they're little pieces of history. And they're kind of, some of them are kind of creepy and like, Disney tends to abandon things. So for a long time, they had an abandoned water park on property that you could go over and if you looked over a fence, see some pretty like scary scenes of this once happy, fun, magical Disney water park now like overtaken by algae and alligators and mold and it's just rotting away. And that just recently got torn down. But there's that Discovery Island in the middle of their one of the lakes that was once a part of their parks and they just kind of left that and that's rotting away and people have gotten out there on boats and taken pictures and there's a lot more than meets the eye there.
See, I have never gone and I've decided I'm going to wait until we get enough technology where they actually bring Walt Disney back to life and he greets you when you walk in the park, you know?
That'd be great. Yeah, he just kind of walks right over to you. Well, the funny thing is we were going on some of the rides and Harper was telling me exactly how the rides went. I'm like, how do you know this? Because, I mean, she's been there several years ago and she's like, oh, I've been watching them in virtual reality. So she's been like riding the rides Ooh. In her room the last month. And I'm like, that idea to me is amazing in itself right there. That's almost more exciting just being on the ride, being able just to be in your house and go, I'm going to ride the Haunted Mansion right now.
And I like that idea, actually. That might be something I'd do.
It's really, I mean, some of them are, the technology has gotten so much better over the last couple of years. Early on, the videos were not that great, but now it's like, wow, you can really get a feel for what these rides are like from home. So Yeah.
It's, I got my Saturday night plan now. You've got it all set for me.
It's quite amazing. It really is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go over to our first letter of the day. As soon as I get there, we go. I have written before and was very excited to hear you read my letter about the haunted summer camp. I've attached a picture of one of the rooms at that camp that has a shadow spirit in it. This photo has been on a pegboard a long time, so I apologize for all the pinholes. However, the shadow is still visible. This photo was taken in one of the older buildings with a regular digital camera. The rooms are not large, but very tall. Staff members there that summer even tried to recreate the photo to no avail in order to potentially debunk it. You can see a shadow man in the mirror, and the ball of the footboard is hazy as well. This is the building that the little black boy in the oversized clothes was seen, where the ghost voice calls for their mommy. I prefer to not be in this building alone. Moving on through the other reason for this submission, I grew up in a haunted house for 18 years. Beautiful home with a full basement. This house at one point had been owned by my great uncle, and he died in the hospital due to cancer. He's most definitely been spotted as one of the presences in that house by several people. So many things happened in this house, but very little was a repeat incident. The only thing he witnessed multiple times were the sounds of someone walking up the stairs from the basement, the sound of someone jumping in the pool in the backyard, and radios always being dialed into Christian stations whenever you turn them on. Now, we didn't listen to the Christian station. We had nothing against it. It just isn't our station of choice. Good luck getting anything other than Christian music to play in the basement. Once when my brother had moved back home and was staying in the makeshift room in the basement, he heard a male person singing hymns in the downstairs bathroom and was not playing any radio. I've seen a pair of legs walk past my room down the hall with no body past the waist. My sister and husband seen a man on the main floor. That was Uncle Bobby, who'd passed away years before. During a pool party we were having once, I was flitting around the house, which was empty, making noises as young kids do and being silly. When I heard from the den the sound of newspapers rustling and a man say, "Would you cut that out?" I did and stayed outside until more people came in. My husband was sitting in the den when we first started dating and jumped and accused us of smacking him in the head. No one had touched him, though. In 1999, we got married and lived there while our house was being built. We had a set of triplet boys during this time also. Though their baby monitor, you would hear footsteps in their room. Once, while they were napping, I watched the coat closet across the house open fully and shut completely multiple times. At first, when it started to open, I wrote it off to being a breeze in the house or settling, but it just kept opening and shutting. I talked out loud and told the presence it could be in the house while we were there, but it couldn't get near us. I never saw the doors open alone again. I've been told that many a morning my dad would find the front door completely open, even after everyone confirmed they shut it and locked it. Close to the time our house was almost done being built, the most unnerving spirit showed up. It would wake us up by running and slamming our bedroom door open in the middle of the night, and she'd run around our room giggling and run out. The first time we thought one of the boys had gotten out of bed and was roaming, but after many times of being jolted awake, we knew it wasn't them. My parents went out of town one weekend, leaving my husband, myself, and our boys in the house. The day they were due back, there was all this noise coming from my parents' room. Noise like someone was stomping and just having a fit. As in the past, I talked to it and said from the kitchen, "They'll be back today, you know. You don't have to be so loud back there." The noises stopped instantly. Radios in that house would turn on by themselves, and you'd always felt like you were being watched in the basement. On one occasion, I was alone at home doing laundry, making use of time before I went to work. Number one, I must point out, the light switches for this basement were placed in odd places. The basement was kind of divided into two long rooms by this long wall. One side was a den with a bathroom and laundry room. The other side was a storage-type space where my dad had an office set up. The three lights that lit up the den side were separated with a great deal of space between them. One at the entrance of the room on the left, the second halfway through the room on the right wall, and third switch on the left wall at the back. I always ran turning those lights on or off because I hated how far apart they were positioned. The laundry room was all the way in the rear because why not? Isn't the laundry room always the scariest place to get to? Anyway, I'm doing laundry and hear the loudest commotion from the office room on the other side. This terrified me, and even worse, I had to walk past that area to leave the basement. I finished my business and hurried past the storage area where nothing was out of place. No piles of stuff on the floor or anything. I went ahead and just left the house early, out of fear of being alone. On another occurrence, my husband was home alone watching TV, and only the wall behind the TV with all the pictures started shaking violently. My brother had gone to the attached garage to get something, and when he went to come back in, found it locked on him. It was one of the push lock things, and he hadn't locked the door, but decided to just hang out and wait for someone to come home and let him in. Here's my parents pulling up the driveway after a little bit. Just as they stopped the car, he said he heard the little lock pop, as if it had been opened. It was now unlocked. To be honest, I did love that house as much as I also hated that house. I know that doesn't make a lot of sense, but as scary as things were at times, you just got used to it. I know the family who lives in it now, and they haven't experienced very much. I did talk to the woman of the house. They just adopted two small breed dogs, and now they've heard noises in the bedroom portion of the house that have, in fact, spooked their dogs. There's a little active house there.
A little bit. And I think for people that have active homes, it kind of falls into two categories. It's either you love it, you hate it. In this case, you had somebody who actually did love the home very much as they disliked being there because of the stuff going on.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's a great story. And starting off with the summer camp story, I mean, I don't know that I've ever heard a good story that came out of summer camp, to be honest with you. They're one of the scariest places in real life and in any kind of supernatural kind of form, too. So summer camps are always great stories if you want to talk ghost stories.
You know, I never went to summer camp. We were supposed to have it one year at my school, and then their teachers, I think, went on strike. And then they were like, kids, you know all that money you've been raising for the last however many years? Well, we're not going to be able to spend it on summer camp.
Of course not.
I remember like being in the cafeteria and them telling us all these things. And I was like playing reporter and like asking all these like inquisitive questions. Like, can you tell us where the funds are going? No, over here. I was just like, get into it. They're like, why is this child asking us all these questions?
Because that's who Tony is.
Exactly. I'm going to get to the bottom of this shit. Did you ever go to summer camp?
I went one year, and it was one of those things where it wasn't necessarily the worst thing, but it was out in the woods, and that makes it scary when you're younger anyway. And the buildings were old and not very well taken care of. So that was kind of scary. And to be honest with you, some of the people that went to camp were not the most, beautiful people in the world either. So I think that just piles on all of the scariness that could possibly happen. When she was talking about the house and the door locked with that little push button, and then all of a sudden it unlocked, I actually got the tingles on that one a little bit.
Yeah, it's just like, see, let you back in.
Yeah,
it was really kind of showing its intelligence there. And it wasn't just something that happened to go on. There was something to it. Good stories. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. And let's go over to another call. Hi, let's hear your story.
Hi, Tony, Carol, Harper, everybody else involved. This is Brian Harris from Iowa again. Got a story that just actually recently happened. This would have been the last weekend in June of 2021. Like I said, I'm from Iowa, but we spent the weekend in central Nebraska and just kind of killing time. We stopped at Walmart and we're picking up, snacks and a couple bottles of wine coolers and stuff like that for the hotel room. And I mentioned before that I am awaiting cataract surgery, so I'm pretty much blind. I can see, but it's like looking through a frosted window. I can't see details. I can't even really make out the hand in front of my face. So going into Walmart, there were no wheelchairs available. And so I just kind of held onto the shopping cart as my wife steered around the store. we got to the back end of the store where the wine coolers were, and she pulled us into that aisle and went and started looking at, you know, listing off the options because I couldn't see them. And the way she parked me, I was standing right next to a gentleman. Probably not the proper term anymore, but a morbidly obese gentleman who was in a kind of a scooter that somebody had attached a oversized wheelchair to in the back. So he was kind of sitting between the two. And there were probably four or five women around him. And she had parked me ridiculously close to these people, which was odd for her. She's very reclusive and tries to avoid people. And so while she's listing off what our options are for wine coolers, I'm kind of trying to move away from these people. And we pick out a couple flavors, and she starts pulling the cart along with me. And as she gets closer, I whisper to her, "Are there people standing immediately to my right?" And she said, "No, there's a couple girls in the aisle behind you," which I could hear them talking, but I thought it was the people that were right alongside this gentleman. And I said, "There's nobody in this aisle with us." "No." Okay, so I freak out a little bit. This gentleman on the scooter kind of starts moving with us and follows us through the store, basically, with these women in tow. We get to the front end of the store, and my wife needs to use the restroom, so she parks me in an inconspicuous spot, and I stand there and wait for her. And, you know, just watching blur of people going by, somebody walks by, a woman with a kind of leaning on her shopping cart walks by in front of me, and these women that I had seen back in the liquor aisle kind of walk up behind her and stop in front of me like they're waiting for me to say something. And this is when I realized that these people, not the gal with the shopping cart, but the people that walked up and the gentleman on the scooter, I could see them as clear as a bell. Regardless, the rest of the world was blurry to me, but these people were clear, vivid. And not that it mattered, but they seemed to all be Hispanic people, like they were all from the same family. The gentleman on the scooter, his hair kind of reminded me of Maui on the Moana cartoon, long curly hair, Hispanic heavyset gentleman. And he was sitting kind of in the sidelines, but these women were standing in front of me, and I realized that I'm looking at what had to have been spirits. And I whisper under my breath so anybody who is actually near me doesn't hear, and I look at them and I say, "I'm sorry, but I don't think I'm going to be able to help you." And with that, this group of five or six women kind of dissolve piece by piece, you know, like you would see in a movie. They just kind of turned to dust and disappeared. Now, the gentleman in the scooter was still in my peripheral vision, and I could see him clear when I did actually look towards him. My wife comes back, we go through, she does self-checkout, and as we're leaving, we're going through the first set of doors, and this gentleman in the scooter is sitting blocking the door that we're going to walk through in the second set of doors. And he's just sitting there, not really looking at me. None of these entities try to speak to me in any way. And he's sitting there blocking our entrance. And, you know, I walk by and I look at him. I could draw you a picture of his face. It was so clear and vivid to me as we walked by, and I just kind of mumbled under my breath, "I'm sorry." And we went out. I even looked back towards the door and I could still see him sitting there. And I mean, we basically walked right through him, my wife and I. And I mean, I made very close eye contact with him as I walked by. Now, we went back the next day, more wine coolers, and I didn't see anything of that nature in the store. However, as we were checking out, the employee that came over because we were buying alcohol, and he did what did I have to do on the register, and after he was done, I said, "Can I ask you a question?" "Yeah, sure." I said, "I used to come in here a lot," which was a lie. I've never been in there before the day before. "I used to come in here a lot, and there was a gentleman, kind of a morbidly obese gentleman. He, long black curly hair, and he rode in a kind of a scooter that was kind of a hybrid with a wheelchair. And I just wondered if he still come around." And he said, "Yeah, he used to come in here a lot. I haven't seen him in here for quite a while, though." And I just kind of smiled and nodded and tried not to freak out in front of the guy. But that kind of solidified that, okay, maybe there are spirits of Walmart going around. Anyway, that's my story. I'm sticking to it. Love your show. And keep it coming. Thanks.
You know, I think you may agree with me on this, but I wouldn't mind haunting a grocery store.
Well, and I actually did work at a grocery store that was reportedly haunted. People had stuff happen all the time there, and we used to make jokes about it. But I think that, and I know we've done a couple of stories where people have worked at stores and had like ghost children and stuff like that show up. So,
I mean, grocery stores, I enjoy just kind of wandering around. That's kind of like if I have nothing to do or if I'm trying to kill time somewhere because I have to like go do something else in a little bit, I'll go to a grocery store and I'll just walk around and look at things.
It tells you a lot about the community you're in. Even if it's a big chain, they're a little different in every market, and so you do learn a lot by it. I think it's interesting that this gentleman in everyday life or life as we know it had problems with his vision, and yet these particular individuals were crystal clear to him. I think that's really outstanding.
Is that because it's something that he's seeing, but he's not seeing it truly through vision, like through his, you know, rods and cones of his eyes? Is it because he's picking it up?
Yeah, that would be my guess on it. And the fact that little story at the end where the employee said, you know, "Yeah, he used to come in here all the time, but he hasn't been in." Very interesting way to end that story.
Yeah, it really, and that was a great way of, that was a really smart way of him asking it to the grocer, to not just be like, "Hey, do you got some, I think I see a ghost over here." But no, just so they're not weirded out. And yeah, that's just to get the very honest answer that he was looking for. 855-853-4802 is our number. Hi, let's hear your story.
Hey, how's it going? This is Alex. I'm calling from Waukegan, Illinois, Northern Illinois area. So I have a ghost story for you guys. Growing up Mexican-American, my mom was very into the spirits and the paranormal. My dad was not. I would hear a lot of stories from Mexico and stories from hauntings that would happen here around the area, you know, especially like at the house, at my uncle's houses. And I never really got too scared of it. I was interested in it, but I never paid much attention to it until I got older. The one that sticks out the most to me has to be the one that happened here in the U.S. at my house, actually, with my mom. I had picked her up from work, came home, and she went to the kitchen, started getting dinner ready. This was maybe in the middle of February, March, so it was still, you know, it was still the time change. So by 4 or 5 o'clock, it was pretty dark out. I was in my room, changing out of my clothes, getting ready to go get dinner with them, and I heard three knocks on the door. So the way my house is laid out, there's an entrance in the front and there's an entrance in the back. Everybody that knows us uses the entrance in the back. And we heard the knock. I heard the knock. And I ran to the back and looked out the window expecting to see my brother or somebody there, you know, to visit us. And there was nobody there. So I heard the three knocks again, but this time it came from the front of the house. And I ran across the house to the front, peeked out the window, and all I saw was this little old lady in a black gown, what looked like a black dress, short gray hair, turning around. I could not see the face. I did not see the side of the face, but I just saw like the back part of her jaw and like what seemed to be the ear and the back of her head, and obviously her back, because she started walking away. I ran back towards the back of the house, out the back door, right around the driveway. And I mean, it probably didn't take me no more than 10 seconds to get to the front, and there was nobody there. I grabbed my phone, took out my flashlight, shined the flashlight on the yard to see if maybe she had fallen, checked to see if the neighbors' houses, maybe one of the neighbors. There was nobody there. There was no car. I live in a pretty empty street at night, so we could see any movement of cars or anything, and there was nobody there. So I can't explain exactly who that lady was or what she wanted, but that definitely was not the first time that I had an experience like that at the house. So yeah, I mean, if you guys want to hear some more stories, let me know, and I'll definitely, I got a lot of stories, and I hope you guys like that one. Let me know what you guys think.
Thanks for calling in and sharing that story with us. Thoughts?
Yeah, immediately the first thing that comes to mind is what I've heard called the three knocks of death.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where there's three knocks on a door or window, and it's literally death coming to take someone if it's answered. So that's, I mean, obviously it could be superstition, whatever. But there's also the thought process that three knocks on a door is a sign of mocking the Holy Trinity too. Mm-hmm. So I think the three knocks thing is kind of interesting.
I have not heard the knocks of death. I mean, I knew the one about the Trinity, but it was the knocks of death. Wow. So like, if you're waiting for Grubhub and they knock three times.
Yeah, don't answer the door. Just ask him to put it outside and you'll come get it. But the thing about the knocks of death, it could be death. It can also be a bad news situation, mainly death. But typically then the superstition says you'll get the information in either 3 days, 3 weeks, or 3 months, that whatever that death was there to tell you, that will come to fruition since you weren't able to answer the door.
So there's really no way around it, even if you answer it. So
if you don't answer it, it'll be in threes at some other point.
But if you do answer it, then what?
Who knows? I mean, if he had been just a little bit faster, maybe that old lady would have had some news for him of some sort.
Yeah. Does like if the little old lady answers and gives the information, does that then like get bonus points and it's like less of a bad thing that is going to happen 3 weeks or 3 months or whatever?
Man, I don't know. But when he said three knocks, I immediately thought three knocks of death. And then when he said about the little old lady in the black dress, that was like, okay.
Yeah, that's creepy. 855-853-4802, our phone number. We'll do one more call here. Hi.
Hi there. This is Rory from Utah again. I did call in once to kind of explain a story, but I have an even shorter one that I think is actually pretty funny and upbeat. But like I said on my last call, I was pretty sensitive, and I don't feel like I am anymore, mainly because I purposely have closed myself off to that. I don't feel like I'm ready for that. But one thing that I for sure am always open to is my grandma. And my grandma died the year my sister was born, which was in 2006. And so whenever I see my grandma, I picture her as like this 40-year-old woman, because that's kind of the last image I saw of her before she died. And my mom pictures her as this old lady. So we basically see two different people, but it's the same person in our house at the time. And what I think is really funny is my grandma, we like to think of as my sister Kate's guardian angel, because whenever we're by Kate, we sometimes smell my grandma's scent, or she sometimes does the same stuff my grandma used to do. And one thing my mom really hooked on telling us as kids is grandma's a prankster. you know, grandma will, like, think she's funny and she'll want to scare you because that's what apparently she's done to my mom. And looking back, my grandma is totally that type of person. She was the old lady that would flash you just for fun. She was the old lady that would scare you in the bathroom if the door was unlocked. She was that type of person. And it used to happen a lot more when I was actually, like, living in the same room as my sister, but one day I was taking a shower, and I was obviously singing in the shower, because what teenage girl doesn't do that? And I heard the bathroom faucet turn on, the sink faucet turn on, and I'm in the shower. I'm like, why would it turn on? So I actually look out of the shower curtains, and it is on. So I hop out, quickly turn it off, hop back in, because I just thought I left it on, and I just barely realized that. And then I started to smell like this soft smell of vanilla, which my mom always said smelled like my grandma. And so I was like, oh, I guess grandma's here. So I said, hi, like, hi, grandma. And then the smell stopped and I kind of felt weird. So I turned around and my shower curtains flew open, scared the living shit out of me. I was freaking out. I grabbed something to use it in my defense because my shower curtains just flung open on me naked. And I was like, oh my God, I cannot believe that just happened. So I quickly run downstairs to my mom, have a towel covering me. I'm like, Mom, my freaking shower curtain just opened. Like, I think someone might be in the house. Like, I'm actually worried. And she goes, oh my gosh, my mom used to do that to me all the time growing up. And I was like, Mom, like, I did smell like that warm smell of vanilla and somewhat lavender. And my mom was like, you shouldn't be worried. That was just your grandma playing a prank on you. And now, like, a few times a month, I'll see just my grandma out of the corner of my eye just sneak out from the corner, pop her head out from around the couch or something like that. And it surprisingly is always with my sister. And so that's the only thing I'm open to right now, because I just don't feel like I could handle it as a type of cool person that can do that. But I just thought I'd come in and say that funny story, because truly I'm only open to her, and I hope she truly knows that. But thank you guys so much.
Well, I guess it's a good thing it's not Grandpa playing that trick. It would have a whole different connotation to it if that were.
It really would. But Grandma sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And it totally makes sense that they would both see different images of that individual. I think the energy projects itself as you know it.
Mm-hmm.
And so she would know her grandma in her 40s, and mom might be more susceptible to seeing it as an older woman. But what a great story. And the fact that she has learned to be able to shut the stuff off that she doesn't want to deal with, that is not easy. So hats off to her for that, and just allowing in the stuff that she does want to deal with. I think that's wonderful, because sometimes you hear just the opposite, where people can't shut it off.
Mm-hmm. And I think that would be the most frustrating, of just trying to get grips on that, because I don't even know how you begin to learn to shut something like that off if it's there, you know. I mean,
I don't know. And I think sometimes people who find out that they might be a little gifted are really ambitious to open up and learn more, which I think is great. But mm-hmm. In the same respect, I always worry, once you open that door, how good are you at closing it back off if you need to?
Yeah. Is it like learning, you know, like learning a skill or something? You can't like unlearn something. If you get it, if you start to figure out how to do something, you'll always know how to do that sort of thing. And I wonder about that too. You can't like unlearn to like tie your shoe or see, you know, something like that. If it's there, it's there now. So I don't know. It's interesting to think about. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. That's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person and EPP. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Until next time, for Todd, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.